Happy to be joined now by Bobby McMahon of Soccer Central and Forbes and SoccerLee.com. Bobby, long time no talk. Good to hear from you.
Great to be back speaking to you, Ben.
Let's start with Spurs.
How did I know that was going to be topped?
I don't know. I'm bucking the trend here. Harry Kane, yeah. Very good or the greatest of all time?
Has he been rumored to be going to Real Madrid yet?
Stop that.
Or Barcelona?
Don't do that.
It's only a matter of time. Before the end of the week, we'll have him off to Real Madrid.
It's true.
The real test is time, isn't it? Particularly with goal scorers. Young player, incredible season so far, scoring bucket of goals. But you know, how will he equip himself as defenders start actually going out there and preparing themselves? And can he do it season after season? Can he do it like an Alan Shearer or a Thierry Henry or a Ruud van Nistelrooy or a Didier Drogba? Players who continue to score goals even though they're known quantities. That's the real test. He's doing great just now, but in the terms of the long term, we just got to wait and see if he's got the ability to become one of the consistent goal scorers in the Premier League.
Well, one of those teams that Spurs are looking to pass to get into the top four in the Premier League is Manchester United, yep. Who are now just a single point up on Spurs after their a draw today against West Ham. It's such a bizarre team to me, Bobby. I mean, there's so much talent on that team, and they can't beat Cambridge United. In Cambridge, they eventually won the replay in FA Cup action, but now they're just kind of hanging on to a top four spot in the Premier League. Is it just a matter of time before they figure it out, or is this a team with serious problems?
Unconvincing, I think, would be a way to describe today. I thought they were very, very fortunate to come away with a point against West Ham. I thought West Ham were by far and away the better team and caused them all sorts of problems and probably should have stuck away a second goal and put out of Manchester United's reach. I think the really interesting bit here, Ben, is we know that Manchester United isn't in Europe, so they've got this time to prepare. They haven't got too much pressure. They've only got the FA Cup and the Premier League to worry about. But this is the time of year when they desperately need to pick up the points, because if you look at their schedule and look at the, I think it's the end of March, beginning of April, they have back-to-back games against some very, very difficult opponents. So it's a case of really trying to be in a situation at the moment where they're gaining maximum points every time, because I think down the road, once they get to that end of March, beginning of April, they're really going to need these points. So Louis van Gaal, he can be sitting in third or fourth spot just now, but I don't think he can be sitting very comfortably, because I think the real test for Manchester United is yet to come, and that's going to decide whether Manchester United is going to be in the Champions League next year or whether it's going to be another year of perhaps playing on the margins.
Yeah, and as far as Spurs are concerned, they hope it's spending a year in Europa League or something like that. As long as Spurs aren't in Europa League again, I'll be fine with that, because that's a tough one.
Isn't that the ultimate the purgatory? They're not good in. They're too good to miss out on Europa League, but they're not good enough to make Champions League. That's been sort of Spurs history the last few years.
It's true. Manchester City give up a couple of points this week with their draw at home against Hull. So it's now a 7-point gap atop the table between Chelsea and City. Now with 14 games to play this Premier League season, is that? I mean, the 14 games is a significant run out before the season wraps up, but it's not, you know, we're still past the halfway point here. 7 points, not insignificant. How do you shape up City's title hopes?
Well, the City supporters are people who will tell us not to write City off. Have a very good point. They'll point us towards history and tell us that the twice that Manchester City have won the league in the last few years, they've come from a number of points back with relatively few games to go. I think 8 points in one case, and I think 7 or 8 points in another case. So there's certainly history there. But I just see them as being kind of uninspired just now. Against Hull, it was almost like they could not pick up the pace after Hull took the lead. And they eventually got the draw, but it really wasn't convincing from a City point of view. And they're also up against the Chelsea side, the Mourinho side, that really everything went their way again this weekend. They got the goal from Ivanovic. They beat Aston Villa 2-1. Southampton dropped points. Southampton won, but Manchester United dropped points. City dropped points. Everything's kind of going Chelsea's way. And I think the real hope for Manchester City, perhaps, is that Chelsea go deep into the Champions League and perhaps take their eye off the Premier League ball. But I actually don't see that happening. I think this is absolutely Chelsea's league to lose now, and I just can't see them throwing away that kind of lead with 13, 14 games to go.
Talking to Bobby McMahon of Soccer Central and Forbes and SoccerLee.com, and you write for Forbes, so I want to pose this question to you. I haven't seen much talk of this, but we know Chelsea, owned by Russian oligarch Roman Abramovich, and we know that the ruble has taken a big-time hit. How come we haven't heard much of him? Is he okay financially? Are we going to see a sell-off at some point?
Ben, you know you're rich when you can lose $3 or $4 billion.
Yeah, I guess.
And he is that kind of rich.
Wow.
And although the ruble has taken a hit, so many of the oligarchs have taken financial hits, but they're so diversified as well. Although a lot of many of the Russians that have vast fortunes have it through resources, and particularly oil and gas. But so many of them are protected through the US dollar and all the rest. And this is the other thing, is he's now... If something like this was going to happen, it's not a bad time for it to happen, because Chelsea are now in a situation where they're pretty much in a sustainable mode. When they're in trouble, they sell off a couple of players. They can book that. They meet financial fair play obligations. They're okay. I don't think Chelsea fans have anything to worry about in terms of Abramovich's fortune and whether it would have any impact on Chelsea. I think they've managed over the last 10 years finally to put themselves in a sustainable position financially. But put it this way, me and you aren't going to be sending any donations to Roman.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be nice to like lose a couple billion in the couch cushions and then just forget about it. Who cares?
Don't change.
Yeah, who cares about it? Before we move on to Champions League stuff, it was a big derby weekend, including in Spain, the Madrid derby. Things starting to get real interesting in the Spanish league. Atletico with a big 4-0 win over Real yesterday. What's going on over there? And Cristiano Ronaldo can't be happy about that.
Oh, just getting Real Madrid getting pulled in a little bit. And of course, the big game this afternoon is Athletic Bilbao are at home to Barcelona. Barcelona win that, they're within a point of Real Madrid. And let's face it, we'll go back maybe a month, and Barcelona were the crisis club of Europe. Everything was falling apart. You know, Messi was going to Chelsea or Manchester City or wherever. The manager was going to get fired. The whole Camp Nou was going to tumble down in disarray. And suddenly, they're in a position where they can be 1 point behind. Atletico Madrid has really hold over Real Madrid the last few years. The big game they lost, of course, was the Champions League final. But apart from that, they really have Real Madrid's number. And as we've seen in the past sometimes, you know, teams get start pulled back in. And as far as Real Madrid's concerned, and any other team in Europe as well who have ambitions of being Champions League winners or domestic national championship winners, this is the really difficult time of year now, because this is when you need to start playing well. February, March, April, into May, these are the months you need to play well, because these are the months that decide whether you win trophies or not. So they're still at the top of the league. They're still a very powerful team, Real Madrid. But I think it's a kind of defeat, and the fact that they've allowed a bit of a padding, points padding in Spain to disappear, I think Carlo Ancelotti is going to be a little bit concerned.
Speaking of Spanish football, mentioned Champions League cranks up again this month, middle of February, February 17th. We get back on track for Champions League and couldn't be more excited. And I look at the matchups. There's not too many real glory matchups, except for this one is spectacular. City-Barcelona. We're all looking forward to that. And we know the citizens in the last few years have had issues in the Champions League. At least they got out of the group stage this season. But how do you stack up that matchup?
It's interesting because it's a repeat of last year. But, you know, just to kind of pull this back to the conversation we had at the beginning about City's performance in the Premier League, it could be that City, you know, whether consciously or unconsciously, look at this situation and say, well, maybe this is the year we really go to the Champions League. We're not going to miss out on the top four as far as Premier League is concerned. We're probably not going to beat Chelsea, catch Chelsea. So maybe this is the year that we really make an impact. On the other hand, you've got Barcelona chasing Real Madrid, still got in the Copa del Rey, and they've still got, obviously, the Champions League as well. So I think you're right. This one is absolutely beautifully poised. City as well will get Yaya Touré back. Psychologically, that's going to be a big lift for them as well. And Barcelona's front three, you look at Neymar, you look at Suarez, and you look at Messi, they're beginning to click. So this could be an absolute classic.
Before I let you go, Bobby, also it's Juventus and Dortmund in another one of those Champions League fixtures. And, I mean, that used to be a really interesting one. What has gone on with Dortmund? I just looked at the German, the Bundesliga table. They are still in a relegation spot.
Well, the good news for them, at least they won this weekend, so they're off bottom spot.
Yeah.
It's quite phenomenal. We went through this early part of the season in Germany where Dortmund couldn't win, and we saw them kind of slip down the table. And, well, no, it's bound to sort itself out. It's bound to sort themselves out. But they are truly in a bit of a relegation battle at the moment. They've got to get themselves out. The results in Europe haven't been too bad. I wouldn't be discounting them against Juventus, partly because of the psychology of this is under the pressure of getting out of relegation trouble in the Bundesliga, but going in the Champions League where there won't be as much pressure, perhaps. I know that sounds strange, but they might be in that situation. So Juventus, who have struggled to make an impact on Europe in the last couple of years as well, so it's going to be a test for them. So that sits there as a result. And, of course, you go back to 1997 when these two teams played in the Champions League and Dortmund were the surprise winners that time.